who stretches forth, who stretches the heavens, laid the foundation of the earth, and formed the spirit of man within him.
Amen.
This is such a marvelous creation. You know, we're awesomely and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Right? We're made with a spirit.
Amen.
But in Matthew, the Lord brought his disciples up to the mountain to unveil many, many things, right? The heavenly principle and the spiritual livings of the kingdom people. And the first thing that he said to his disciples is that, blessed are the poor in spirit.
Amen.
So this is the, the door, like the opening of all the other blessings.
Right.
In order for us to live in the kingdom, in order for us to be a kingdom people, in order for us to be under the king, we need to be poor in spirit.
Amen.
Okay, let's read the point A.
To be poor in spirit does not mean to have a poor spirit. Our spirit should never be poor.
This, I really enjoy what Russell mentioned yesterday in his opening word. He says that the worst thing to do as a Christian is to ignore our spirit. If we ignore our spirit becomes poor. Right? So don't ignore our spirit.
Amen.
Remember our spirit. The first thing that we need to do in the morning is like, oh Lord, my spirit.
Amen.
Right? This is the dwelling place of God.
Amen.
So when we wake up, Lord, it's okay to start weak, you know, weaker. But we need to exercise, right? First thing we do, oh Lord, I love you.
Amen.
So the fact that we're saying, Lord, I love you, is our exercise to love the Lord, and our exercise is both. You know, our spirit and our heart is very much related. So as we tell the Lord that we love him, we call on him, it's an exercise of the spirit, also an exercise to have a proper heart. Yeah, we need to give a lot of attention to our spirit. Okay, let's what about point B together?
To be poor in spirit is not only to be humble, but also to be empty in our spirit, in the depths of our being, not holding on to the old things of the old dispensation, but unloaded
to receive new things of the kingdom
of the heavens.
So just an example of a vessel, you know, as soon as it's filled with something, it becomes old, right? Everything that comes in, it remains there. If it remains there, it becomes old. So like this vessel can't be filled anymore because it's full, right? Like Ellen mentioned, there's no more Gorilla Glue. It's open, you know, the opening is open, but it's full. It can't be, you know, we can't fill with more water. So the first thing that we need to do when we come to the Lord is to empty our being.
Amen.
It's easy. Lord, I empty my being.
Amen.
I like to receive fresh oil.
Amen.
I like to receive the fresh dispensing.
Amen.
I just enjoy very much yesterday from Brother Ken mentioned that, you know, God's economy is centered around God's dispensing. This is what he's doing.
Right.
He's always dispensing.
Yeah.
There's no problem with God. God is not stingy. He's not holding back. You know, he has so much that he wants to give to us. But this is why the organ of our spirit is so important. The organ of our spirit is first we contact God, and as soon as we contact God, God's like, yes, he's coming to me.
Amen.
I want to kiss him.
Yeah.
I want to give him all that I have.
Amen.
So as soon as we contact God with our spirit, he's flowing out to us, right? And the part that we have to receive the flowing is our spirit. But if our spirit is poor, if we're not poor in our spirit, there's no more. There's not the capacity to receive God's dispensing. This is like I just enjoy so much that to be reminded again and again. You know, we need to be filled, but we cannot be full.
Right.
Okay, let's read point one.
Our human spirit, the deepest part of our being, is the organ for us to contact God and realize spiritual things.
Okay, point two.
We need to be poor. Empty, unloaded, in this part of our being, so that we may realize and possess the kingdom of heaven.
So there's this emphasis on the matter of being empty and unloaded. I also have a just have like similarities between our spirit and our stomach. You know, if our stomach is full, even if we're presented with the best food, we can't eat it. Because we have no capacity to receive it. You know, Caleb, what's your favorite food?
Burgers.
Right? I know Caleb eats a lot of burgers. But even if I give you the best burgers and you just had gone to an all-you-can-eat restaurant, and then would you still eat the burger?
No.
So the best thing you can do is like look at it. It's like, oh man, I wish I can have that burger, but I'm so full. That's sometimes that's our condition, you know, when we come into the Lord, we're not hungry for Him. So the first requirement is that we need to pray, Lord, make me hungry. Lord, I like to be hungry for God, you know. We need to be hungry for the things of God. And one way is not to be filled by so many other things. So the one definition of the poor being poor in spirit is not to have any preoccupations of any kind in our spirit. Another definition is to have nothing in our spirit except God. So, you know, as we go through this message, I'll speak a little bit more what does it mean to be preoccupied in our spirit. But I just want to give the, impress with you all that we need to be hungry for God.
Amen.
You know, we all have this. We need it. You know, we can't live without our phone, you know, but the things that we touch, you know, in our phone fills us. Those are our being and causes us not to be hungry for God because we can fill by so many other things that we're touching, you know, through our phone. It's a simple prayer is that, Lord, I like to be hungry for you.
Amen.
Like in the morning, Lord, make me hungry.
Amen.
This whole day, make me hungry for you.
Amen.
Okay, let's read 2a.
When the Lord Jesus came to the Jewish people, their spirits were filled.
Okay, brothers B.
The Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and chief priests were all filled up in their spirit with their traditions, religion, rituals, scriptural knowledge, forms, old religious Jewish practices, concepts, and philosophical reasonings.
So this part, I'm going to give some examples. What does that mean not to be poor in spirit? Or what does that mean to be poor? You know, to have a poor spirit. So let's start with, I'm just going to read the verses. It's not listed in here. So in Matthew 15, 1 and 2, then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." So they come to the Lord saying, "Lord, your disciples are not washing their hands. Hence, they're transgressing the tradition of the elders."
Wow.
Saying, "Lord, you're not being a good teacher. Your disciples are doing things that are not according to tradition. So for all this one, the tradition of the elders are important, right? They might even think that, Lord, you should know better. You should know how to teach your disciples. So they're in the sense that they're teaching the Lord. Right, instead of receiving the Lord's supply and dispensing and teaching, they're the ones that are teaching the Lord. So a lot of times we're like that. We're teaching the Lord. Lord, you should, you know, do this to me. Okay, and this one is the matter of religion in Matthew 12, 1 and 2. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath through the grain fields, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick ears of grains and eat. But the Pharisees, seeing this, said to him, "Behold, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." Do you know why the Lord came? He came to free. He came to free us from the bondage of not being able to fulfill the law. Right? In the Old Testament, there's a set of laws and commandments, but no one was able to fulfill them. Everyone fails. Right, even the best one like fail. Even Paul, right, he's not able to fulfill all of them. So when he came as the Lord of the Sabbath, he realized that his people are not able to fulfill the law, and he's the reality of the Sabbath. So they've been freed, right? So in order to be free from the law, we need to experience the Lord as the Lord of the Sabbath. But the disciples, the Pharisees here, they're still holding on to like, we like the law better than you, Lord. So you and your disciples also need to fulfill the law of the Sabbath. Okay, so another one in John 7:40 and 41. Some of the crowd, therefore, when they heard this word, said, "This is truly the prophet." Others said, "This is Christ." But some said, "Does then the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes out of the seed of David and from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So this is they're being hindered by the incomplete scriptural knowledge. So the Lord was grew up in and he was born in Bethlehem, but he was raised in Galilee. So they thought that, oh, can't be true, you know, the Christ that we're waiting for cannot be from Galilee. So that person is not the Christ, right? So they're hindered from seeing the Lord as the Christ because they have an incomplete scriptural knowledge. So we don't want the things that we know to hinder us from coming to the Lord. Another one. This is big right here. This is our concept. "But when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, and he said within himself, 'This man," right here, "this man right here, if he were a prophet, would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, because he is a sinner.'" So first, they're doubting that the Lord, this man is probably not a prophet, because he's letting this woman touch him, and he did not know that this woman is a sinner. So the Pharisee were doubting the Lord, and then at the same time, he was condemning the sinner that was pouring the jar of ointment on the Lord, right? So this is our concept. Our concept a lot of times is hindering us from seeing the Lord. The Lord is in our midst, but our concept of what the Lord is doing, what the Lord needs to do, how the Lord is. You know, how many times have you talked to some people and said that if God is a God of love, how come he's letting all these things happen? Right? That's the concept of what the Lord needs to do in order to be God. But he's the one who's God, like not us. So our concept should not be hindering us from seeing God. Okay, and last one. I'm spending a lot of time on this because we're just giving you some. We need to realize that all these things are a hindrance, right, from seeing the Lord. And the goal is to forget about all these things, right? Our tradition, our concept. Mark mentioned about even all the good things that we have in our being. We need to be unloaded of all these things so that we can receive fresh dispensing. Lastly, some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. "Why is this man speaking this way? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins except one, God?" So this is, I guess, ones who are more educated, maybe. Ones who has a philosophical tendency, you know. People who philosophize or who loves to talk about different things of, you know, philosophy. Their mind is hindering them from seeing God. Okay, but we need to be free. So I have some examples in the New Testament for people who are poor in their spirit. Okay, let's read D. Sorry, I think I missed C. We haven't read C yet. So this is the result of being filled up. Nothing of the Lord Jesus can get into them. You know, we were impressed yesterday, right? The matter of the dispensing. So I was so impressed the matter of the heart is the gateway for life to flows out. But if there's no life that's contained in our spirit, even if the gateway is open, nothing can flow out, right? So first, we need to receive the dispensing. Right? Our spirit needs to be filled. Right? Our spirit needs to be, every morning, you need to tell the Lord, "Lord, I like to forget everything that I experienced yesterday. Amen. Even in my Bible reading, you know, all the things that I've enjoyed yesterday. That was yesterday. This morning, I need to receive fresh oil.
Amen.
Right? Yesterday was in the past. The Lord is not in the Lord of yesterday. He's in the present Christ.
Amen.
So we need the present Christ.
Amen.
And for this, our spirit needs to be unloaded.
Amen.
To receive the fresh supply.
Amen.
Okay, let's read point E. This is actually my last point. Point E.
We should not keep any knowledge, tradition, form, religion, or anything else other than God in our spirit. We should let our spirit be empty of other things and be absolutely and fully for God.
So for this, I'd like to read some verses from Philippians. This is such a wonderful verses. Philippians 3:4. Though I myself have something to be confident of in the flesh, this is Paul recounting his experience as well. If any other man thinks that he has confidence in the flesh, I more. So like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, you know, they're very confident. You know, they're educated. They've given their life for the Bible and for the Old Testament. They're probably the most faithful believers of the law. Right, so they have confidence in the sense that they have some accomplishment. Right, those accomplishments actually what becomes what hinders them from seeing the Lord. But this is experience that is a pattern to all of us. Right, and Paul said in verse 3:5, he was circumcised the eighth day of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisees. 3:6, as to zeal, persecuting the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, become blameless. None of us, I can't say this, right? As to righteousness, I am blameless. I'm full of blame, right? But Paul, he has this credential. He has the confidence to even to say it, right? As to righteousness, I have become blameless. He's righteous according to his own seeing, based on the law. But in verse 7, he said that, but what things were gains to me? All these things that was mentioned in the past, these I have counted as loss,
amen.
Right? As the, on account of Christ.
Yeah.
So we don't want any of those. Right? On account of Christ, all those things are just loss. But he also mentioned more in verse 8. But moreover, right? This is in addition to his stellar accomplishment, in addition to his stellar resume, is that moreover, I also count all things.
Amen.
So all things can be the things that we're looking for in the future, right? You know, what about our career in the future? You know, our family, you know, our counterpart, you know, the spouse that we have, or the good job, or anything, you know, all things. He said that, moreover, I can also count all things. There's nothing on earth that Paul counted as better than Christ.
Amen.
So this is the heavenly accounting, you know. Paul said that I've done the best as a person, as a human life, as a Jew, but I've also observed all the things that are in the world. He said that, but I've counted all things,
amen.
Right, to be lost on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ.
Amen.
We might not be at this point. This is okay. You know, we might desire some things more than the Lord, but we can be honest with the Lord. Lord, I like to treasure you more than all these other things. There's still some things within my heart that's not have been possessed by the Lord. So just mention that to the Lord. You know, the Lord knows our heart. You know, we can't fake it with him. So the best way just to be genuine, just to be honest to him. Lord, my schooling is so important to me. Lord, my job is so important to me. Right, so for this to happen, we need to have a lot of experiences. You know, we need to have a lot of personal touch with the Lord.
Amen.
We need to engage, you know, the function of our spirit, which is to fellowship with God, to tell him, Lord, unload me from everything that's not God.
Amen.
Right. Okay, that's Paul. I also have another another example from Revelation. This is our brother John, John the Baptist in. In Revelation, it was mentioned four times, right? I was in spirit. He also mentioned I was in spirit on the Lord's Day. You know what happened when he's in spirit? is easy, right? He saw visions, right? He was given the book of Revelation, you know, all the revelation that he saw that was actually written, you know, for us to enjoy the book of Revelation. It happened because John was in spirit, right? This is what's awaiting us. Revelation upon revelation, right? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ. We just need to be in spirit. I know it's simple to say, right? But we need to be unloaded in our spirit. We need to tell the Lord, Lord, empty me. Unload me of all these things that are not you, so that my spirit becomes the best container to contain God. I'm going to steal one of Mark's point. I'm sure it's okay. Let's just read the prayer in point D. This should be our prayer and our attitude, right? Our spirit, Lord. I want my spirit to have the full capacity. I want the full capacity in my spirit to be available to you. Amen. So we have the same spirit as the Apostle John. You know, the Apostle John was able to receive the revelation, but we can too receive the same revelation because it's been written to us, right? The whole Bible. The whole Bible has been written to us. So in our spirit, we have the full capacity to receive everything that's been written. And then it's really up to us to come to Him, to be unloaded, and to be empty, to ask Him to open the Bible to us. Today is only Monday, right? And we have Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to receive a lot more.
Amen.
So if our spirit is full, like, it's a waste to be here, right? If we can't receive more, there will be no benefit for the rest of the week. So as we are receiving, I know like this week it's kind of like being under the fountain. There's so much that we're receiving, but be assured that in our spirit, there's a capacity in our spirit to receive all that God is giving to us, right? Amen. Okay, before I end, I think I have a few minutes. I'm going to just mention some of the practical application. I know I've been sprinkling all these things, you know, about how to be poor in spirit. So just to crystallize it. So I have three things that we can practice how to be poor in spirit. Number one is to ask and pray. It's simple. Just ask the Lord. Tell Him what we want. That's our prayer to Him. Lord, empty me. Unload me. If you don't ask the Lord, if you don't pray to Him, nothing will happen, right? We'll just be full and we'll remain full. So the first thing we have to do is ask the Lord, right, by praying to Him. So number two, we need to care for our diet. You know, if our diet is junk, if our diet is philosophy, cultural concept, tradition, or so many other things, there'll be no room in our spirit to be filled. You know, there's a brother, I think this brother probably know him a lot better than me. I've actually never seen him, but Howard Higashi, he said that when he's not strong spiritually, there's an indication that he has to eat more, right? What was it the other way around? The way to be strengthened, you know, in our spirit is to eat. So, yeah, even when we have no appetite, this is kind of our body, right? When we're sick, we need to eat the healthy things, right? So our body can get the healthy nutrient to be, you know, to fight the disease. It's the same thing, you know. When we realize that we have no appetite for the Lord, that's an indication that our diet has been bad. So you know. In the morning or as we go through our days, we just realize like, wow, I haven't remembered the Lord at all this whole day. That's an indication that we need to come to the Word. Amen. Or even we just to tell the Lord again, Lord, I need you. Amen. I want more.
Amen.
Right? And then the third part, it's the same that we've been covering this whole week. We need to deal with our spirit. We need to exercise our spirit in the way of opening our being to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, if there's anything that's blocking or my enjoyment of you, I'm open to you, right? We need to confess and we need to repent. This is not to dig up, like Brother Dennis mentioned, that this is not to like try to be introspective about all the negative things, but it's just a matter of agreeing with the Lord, giving the Lord the opportunity, the opening, and the cooperation in our being so that he can shine on us. You know, the more he shines, the more he supplies.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.
Can we all read or speak Matthew 5:3? You don't know, it's Roman numeral 1 and Roman numeral 2.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens.
So this was the first thing that the Lord spoke to his disciples on when he brought them to the mountain. And the disciples represent us as the New Testament believers. And as Andrew was saying, this is kind of the doorway to enter in. There was a lot of blessings he spoke. But the first thing he said was, blessed are the poor in spirit.
Amen.
And so we're going to get into more of what this means, and even this second part of, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. How about all together on reading C, and then brothers on C1.
To be poor in spirit is to think that we have nothing, know nothing, and are nothing.
Brothers 1.
The kingdom is not with those who hold the attitude that they are everything and know everything.
So in these two points, I highlighted the word think. And in C1, hold the attitude. So we see that to be poor in spirit even is related to our mind.
Yeah.
To think that we have nothing, know nothing, and are nothing. And even holding the attitude, the kingdom is not with those who hold the attitude that they are everything and know everything. So as our mind is a part of our heart, we saw from yesterday that our heart is the gateway to receiving all the spiritual things. So if you want to speak something to your friends, you have to touch their heart first. But this is for us with our mind, even as a type of gateway that needs to be turned, needs to be emptied out. If we think that we know, then we're just filled with the things that we already know. And we're not open or not available to receive. I wrote a list of things that we can be filled with. We can be filled with traditional concepts, religious concepts, philosophical concepts, opinions and thoughts. And there's two other things. Scriptural knowledge, even forms. So these last two things, scriptural knowledge and forms, even some of the things I mentioned before, could be good things, things from the Lord. Even our experience of Christ, that can be something that fills us. So you consider scriptural knowledge. This week we're here in the training and we have to memorize the verses. The brothers want us to get into these verses so that we can be filled with the word of the Lord. But if we're merely memorizing these verses so you can do well on the test, so you can do well in the, you know, when you're standing up here, but you're not filled with the Lord, you're not touching the Lord, you miss the whole point. The scriptural knowledge, these verses that we're getting into, that's on the green sheet that we're memorizing each and every day, is not just more knowledge only for us to receive, but it's through this that we can contact the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we don't want to miss the Lord as even, you know, we're being filled with this scriptural knowledge. Even with the verses that we're memorizing, it's good to bring it up again. You realize the Lord speaks through what, in our enlightened memory, the verses that we know. Now, with the matter of forms, you know, even with something like spending time with the Lord in the morning, we're practicing, we're learning how to touch the Lord. And I like what Brother Dennis has been emphasizing. The point is to contact the Lord.
Amen.
You know, there are help, there are principles, but there's not a set form. There's not a set way for us to touch the Lord. You know, I had an experience that The Lord was so fresh to me in an afternoon once when I was just spending time with the Lord. And I was like, oh, this is it. I found the key to touch the Lord. And then the next day, I tried to do the same thing, but it wasn't the same. So it's not just the outward form. It's not the procedure of how you, what verse you pray or what song you sing or, you know, the steps. But the point is to touch the Lord. And so these are the things that can fill us, as an example, that prevent us from being freshly filled, right? And so we'll see even our attitude. We may not say anything. You may want to try something new. But even if we have the attitude that we know, we'll see later. This is not with the kingdom people. They do not hold the attitude that they are everything and know everything. Well, you may think, well, I don't know everything, you know? And I was just considering, even for you students, even if this is your very first college training, surely you receive something of the Lord. Or even if you met the brothers and sisters in your college years, you know, you've enjoyed the Lord with them. But this is something that we have been filled with. These are the good things, right? I wouldn't continue to enjoy the Lord with the saints. But whenever we come before the Lord again, we need to be emptied out. Amen. These are the things that, not just the negative things that we need to repent and confess of, but actually we even need to repent just to turn our mind from all the things that we think we know that would prevent us from touching the Lord in a fresh and new way. Amen. Now, how about sisters read point two? So there's that matter of God's economy, at least this phrase. For some, it may be very familiar. You've heard this term over and over again. For some, this may be the first time you're hearing it. But we can say many things about this phrase, God's economy. Simply put, it's God's plan. But I would say there's still much more with the matter of God's economy. And so as we're enjoying, learning, receiving about God's economy, we have to still, even before every meeting, before you get into the Word, you just have to empty yourself. Even as the brothers are sharing about God's economy, for us to receive it in a fresh way, we have to empty ourselves. We have to unload ourselves. Amen. This is how we'll be able to receive even the things of God's heart and His plan in a fresh way. Otherwise, then we hear the word God's economy automatically, then we're just thinking, okay, it's this and this. It's dispensing. Oh, it's just the Lord growing in me. These things are true, and I don't want to belittle these things, but it's much more. And God's economy is not just something outside of us. It's so experiential. Amen. So we realize for us to really know God's economy, experience God's economy, His plan, all that He's doing in us. It's not apart from us. It's very much to do with us and with our heart. We need to first empty ourselves, open ourselves. I was considering this is the third message, the poor in spirit. And we saw from the first and second message, we have a human spirit, yeah, right? And our human spirit is so important for the fulfillment of God's purpose. And we need to have a proper spirit. I just consider this message that we're speaking today is like the priming, the preparation, a kind of development of using our spirit. You know, with the walls, if you're to have a fresh coat of paint, you need to first prime it, right? You need to first kind of even do some preparation work before you can put the colors that you want to paint on the walls. So this is kind of a priming. This is a kind of preparation. Whenever we're touching the things of the Lord, or even just with the brothers and sisters, we realize we need to be emptied and unloaded. Amen. We need to become poor in spirit. Amen. Not have a poor spirit, but poor in spirit. Amen. We see that when we turn our mind, you know, this gives the Lord a way for our spirit to receive even the kingdom of the heavens. We'll get into this pretty soon. Now you consider, in our spirit is not just the Lord, but even, so some of these things I mentioned are knowledge, are concepts, but even our hatred, our love, it's not only in our emotion. We saw this from yesterday when Dennis Lowen was sharing, the Lord spoke to the disciples in Luke 9:55. You do not know what kind of spirit you are. They had what? They had a criticizing spirit, a condemning spirit. They wanted to pray to rain fire and brimstone on the ones that rejected them. Our spirit needs to become pure. For our spirit to be purified, we need to first empty it out. So even all the good things, all our feelings, whether it's hatred, whether it's love, our natural, our emotions, our human love, it can enter into our spirit. So it's not even receiving new things, but also what comes out of us. For it would be something that's filled if we don't empty our spirit, if we don't empty out all that we know. How about let's read all together D again.
We all need to feed the Lord's prayer by being poor in our spirit and saying, Lord, unload me, empty my spirit. I do not want to store anything in my spirit. Lord, I want the full capacity in my spirit to be available for you.
I'll give you a tip. I really like this point. It gives a prayer, a sentiment that we can make our own. Whenever you read these, if you see this, if you see kind of prayers in the outline points or in the ministry excerpts, it's a good way to even make these prayers our own. Amen. You know, on one hand, we're not using it as another form, as another set ritual or set prayer. You know, the Lord taught his disciples how to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's not spoken again in the entire New Testament. It's not the only prayer that we can pray, and we probably shouldn't always pray it verbatim. But I like this prayer. Lord, unload me. As Andrew spoke, to be poor in spirit, we just tell the Lord. We ask the Lord. There's nothing special we need to do. We just say, Lord, I empty myself. Lord, unload me.
Amen.
It's that straightforward. It's that simple. I do not want to store anything in my spirit. Lord, I want the full capacity in my spirit to be available to you.
Amen.
Just by praying that, we don't even know what's filling us. You don't know what's really, there are things we may be aware of, but there are many things that we're filled with that we just don't know. But by opening, by giving the Lord the consent, Lord, I want the full capacity in my spirit to be available to you. Lord will honor our prayer.
Amen.
He'll just do it. Now we want to see the second part of Matthew 5:3. For theirs is the kingdom of the heavens.
Amen.
Can we all read a Roman numeral 2 all together?
For theirs is the kingdom of the heavens.
This is a promise. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. Just like we saw in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Automatically, we just take care of turning our heart.
Amen.
We don't need to worry about, Lord, I need to remove this veil. We don't even know what veils we have. In the same way, we just need to take care of opening and telling the Lord, unload me. And then spontaneously, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens.
Amen.
So I want to get into this. The kingdom of the heavens is something that the Lord spoke of. He first spoke this in Matthew 4:17 when he said, repent. For the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. And then the second time he mentions this in the verse 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. The kingdom of the heavens, we may have heard of the kingdom of God. You may have heard of heavens. But kingdom of the heavens is something specific. How about let's all read together letter A under Roman numeral 2.
The kingdom of God is God's general reign.
So I want to present this, but so we see there's the kingdom of God. This is just God's ruling, his reigning. On one end, you have eternity past. And on the other hand, you have eternity, future. All of this, this is the kingdom of God. And then we see in the Old Testament, there were the patriarchs. That's with Abraham, Isaac. And then we have when the law was given through Moses. But now, after that, when the Lord Jesus came, he said, the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. The kingdom of the heavens is now. So this is what it means. Is this is a specific section within the kingdom of God. It's not something, it is a reward in the future, but it starts now.
Amen.
Even I would just say simply, it's the church.
Amen.
It's the normal, practical church life today.
Amen.
That's the reality of the kingdom of the heavens.
Amen.
So now we want to see, how do we get this? You know, it just says for theirs. We already have it when you are poor in spirit. We see that, okay, so with a kingdom, when you think of kingdom, what do you think of? There's a king, right? There's a king with the kingdom. Who's the king?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ is the king.
Amen.
Right? Even the book of Matthew is on Christ as the King Savior. He's the king. And so when he came, the kingdom came. So the kingdom of the heavens is not apart from Christ as the king and all his ruling and his reigning. This is what we receive. So we have the words king, kingdom. We have the king, we have the dumb.
Amen.
Right? Christ is the king and all his ruling, his reign, his dumb. That's what we receive. So when we empty ourselves, this is what we receive. We receive Christ.
Amen.
So we've all in this room, we've received Christ as our life.
Amen.
Right? He's our Savior, our Redeemer. But he's also our King.
Amen.
And he's also the kingdom. So not only did we receive his life, you know, when we believe in the Lord initially, but we receive the King and the kingdom.
Amen.
And also, we don't receive this just once for all, but we're receiving this. That's why it says, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. This is what we need to continually be in and be receiving.
Amen.
This is what will come into us when we are poor in spirit. So I want to emphasize something, that the matter of the kingdom, you know, it's or when we first see being poor in spirit, this first part, when we receive the new, when we empty ourselves, we receive the new and fresh things, the kingdom of the heavens, the church life becomes so fresh to us, so new. I don't know if you've had times of your experience when you just feel like, my church life is routine, maybe stale. You know, you're just going through the motions. Maybe it's an autopilot. You know, these are things that have filled us, that this is something we do. We're meeting with the saints, but it's not fresh to us. For us to become poor in spirit means we empty ourselves out of all those things. And we come to the Lord to receive him in a fresh and a new way. And even the kingdom of the heavens is to participate in the proper, normal church life.
Amen.
Right? You know, we may think, you know, the kingdom of the heavens is spiritual, it's not material, but practically speaking, it's to participate in the proper, normal church life.
Amen.
The church life is so, so sweet.
Amen.
The church life is eating, drinking, and breathing Jesus.
Amen.
This is not fresh to us, or this is not something that we enjoy in a new way unless we've emptied ourselves out, right? And so this kingdom of the heavens really is a development of what the Lord did when he sowed the seed into us. We see this in Matthew 13. There's a parable that says, behold, the parable goes out to sow. And he is that kingdom seed that's been sown into our hearts. So our heart is very important. Even our emptying out to become poor in spirit. We want this seed to grow.
Amen.
We want to have this full, we want to be in the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens in the future.
Amen.
But now we can be in the reality.
Amen.
We can be in the church life.
Amen.
Even another practical point I was considering, for many, if it's your first year going to college, if you're a high school senior and going into college, or if you're just in a church life in your college years, it can be fresh and new to you No matter how many years if you've been a believer, if you receive the Lord when you're in junior high, we can receive the kingdom of the heavens. The church life, the proper normal church life, can be so new to us. You know, there's this kind of a you know, we can have grown up in a certain experience of Christ, you know, a church life with our parents or when we were growing up. But for the church life to become ours, for it becomes new and fresh, this is the key.
Amen.
To become poor in spirit.
Amen.
Right? For theirs is the kingdom of the heavens.
Amen.
This is the Lord's promise to us. For us to not only receive the new and fresh things, but for us to participate in the proper normal church life. For this to become ours. This is why we need to become emptied, unloaded, become poor in our poor in spirit. And even another thing I want to point out is that when we become poor in spirit, we empty ourselves, the Lord becomes so fresh, so new, so enjoyable. But this is not only actually only to meet our need, right? Eventually, as we're enjoying the Lord in such a fresh way, we're receiving and enjoying the kingdom of the heavens. We receive not only new things for our benefit, for our supply, but actually, we receive what's on the Lord's heart.
Amen.
You know, the church life not only becomes real to us, but in a sense, there's an ownership, you know. There's something that we really see the Lord is after a counterpart. He's after someone to match him.
Amen.
You know, but this is the start. We need to use our spirit. You know, if we only learn about our spirit, if we only memorize the verses and learn what the brother and receive the brothers only in our mentality, but we don't become emptied in our spirit and freshly filled in our spirit, the kingdom of the heavens is not so real to us. It's not so enjoyable to us. So we realize this is what the Lord is after, and this is what we can receive. How about if we read B all together?
Ours. We are in its reality now in the church age, and we will share in its manifestation in the kingdom age.
So this is on the one hand something now, right? The kingdom of the heavens is now. Also, there's a reward in the future. There's an incentive. But we want to focus on now. We don't want to be one saying, I'll just wait for a period of time until the future. I want to enjoy the church life now. I want to receive the kingdom of heavens now.
Amen.
So for this, we need to become poor in spirit.
Amen.
How about if we read the focus all together?
We need to be poor in spirit, empty, unloaded in the depths of our being, not holding on to anything old, in order to continually and freshly receive the new things of the Lord in our spirit and participate in the kingdom of the heavens.
So again, just to kind of bring it back all together, to become poor in spirit, we simply need to just come to the Lord.
Amen.
We just tell Him, Lord, I empty myself.
Amen.
I unload myself. Lord, I want to have the full capacity in my spirit to be available to you.
Amen.
Then spontaneously, theirs is the kingdom of the heavens.
Amen.
It'll be ours. I was just considering, actually, so one of the hymns, there's two hymns in the hymnal that talk about the matter of being poor in spirit. How about let's sing 1242, and we'll just kind of end our time. Maybe the brothers will have more instruction. But we'll only sing stanza 1, 2, and 8. So hymn 1242, stanza 1, 2, and 8.